June 22, 2021, SWAT for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Show. Happy Tuesday. Started off with John Coltrane doing Invitation. And then Brown Hornet. A little pun rock here. But very creative. I like it. Teasing up to the next hot LIC or lick. We'll find out because Brother Matt is at the Pleasure Point on the Love Grotto, a couple miles south, coming out of Quentin Quarantino mode, but even still, I'm not man alone because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Scott invention. I got Brother Tyler Harwood. Welcome aboard, Tyler.
Hey there.
Yeah. And you're talking to me from the city, right?
I am in San Francisco currently, yeah. I'm here visiting some friends.
We gotta thank, I guess, maybe it's more East Bay, but it's in this general vicinity, the Brutal Sound Effects crew for the Connect.
That is true.
Okay. Now, this music you sent me, very, very interesting, different projects, different incarnations, but I want to share with the listeners your journey through music, so please bring your earliest musical recollection.
All right. Well, you know those the little springs that are on baseboards in houses that keep the doorknob from busting a hole in the sheetrock?
Sure, sure. I think I got a little half-sphere rubber thing on my bulkhead to keep that happening.
Yeah, sometimes there are little springs, and I remember being a little carpet crawler flicking those. I think that was the first time I thought
you'd be
sound.
Flicking them to make your own sound.
Yeah.
No, you know, I saw Einstein's Endonoidbauten in the desert, and it was the last time I ate L. And the bass man Well, he had a one-string bass, but they fucking threw that off and pounded it with a pounder. And then he was playing this goddamn giant spring, sort of like that. But the note was so low. Whoa. Talking about bass. So it's interesting. So in this pad, where did you grow up?
Houston, Texas.
Houston, okay. Oh, wow. Lightning Hopkins.
Yeah.
And Billy Gibbons and a lot of good music out of that town. Jandek. Yeah. And the Montrose part, Jandek, I got to festival with him. But anyway, was there musical instruments in this pad you grew up?
No.
Except for those springs on the hatch.
Yeah, pots and pans, vacuum cleaners.
Yeah. I'm into it. So you're a repurposer.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, no, it's happening. And so there's no musical people in the family? There's no instruments? You had to, like, autodidact on your own?
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, music fans, but, yeah, none of my immediate family played instruments.
Yeah, that's okay. My case, too. Let me ask you, what about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
Nope. I hung out with the theater nerds.
Okay. But there is a kind of connect.
I've had
guests on the show. There is a kind of, 'cause it's performance, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. Okay. What's the first record you bought with your own money, Tyler?
It's Circle Jerks, Group Sex.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knew how to dress after you looked at the back, right?
Right. That's probably why I bought it.
Yeah, everybody had their own look. If you know about 70s punk, there was like no outfit yet.
Right.
I mean, there's stuff in England, and of course there was the Ramones, but it was whatever you fucking put together. And okay, so it was Sean Carey, right? The artist, I think. First gig you went and saw?
Well, when I was little, my parents, we used to go to the Good Company Barbecue on Kirby Drive, and Pappy Self would play fiddle. He was the original fiddle player with Bob Wills, or I don't know if he's the original, but he's the one that wrote the, one of his big hits, and he used to pull up in a trailer and play outside of the Good Company Barbecue, and I liked to pick up bottle caps. I collected bottle caps while he was playing.
Yeah, they call that like jazz swing, right? Cowboy
Western swing.
Yeah, Western, that's the word.
And yeah.
It's pretty carnal. A lot the stuff behind Patsy Cline is like that. I find it really interesting. What ward was that? Because Houston's got wards, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Because I got to go to the supper club, Silver Slipper or something, with Jandek one. All tequila up and shit.
The mysterious Jandek.
Right. I was introduced to him as the representative from Corwood Industry.
Of course,
Interesting cat. But the Montrose, like the art part of Houston. Right? Anyway, I think it was, this club was in the third one. So, now not after school, like graduating, but in the afternoon, the garage band, basement band, bedroom band, did you get into stuff like that?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about it.
Well, I begged and begged for a drum kit when I was, I think I got one when I was 12, and my parents gave me one of those, it was a Remo PTS. It was the pre-tuned drum kit. The drum heads were already stretched, and you just clipped them on. And, I figured out soon thereafter how to do the kind of hardcore polka beat and hooked up with some guys. And I think I played the Cabaret Voltaire or the Axiom Club in Houston when I was maybe 13.
Oh, I remember that play. Yeah, Tom Bunch.
Vatican. Right, yeah.
Later on, he had the Vatican and shit.
Okay.
Well, Remo was big maker of heads. I know that.
They're big heads.
Yeah. So, what about learning? Did you go to find a sensei or a teacher?
Well, I did take some drum lessons for a little while. My drum teacher kind of looked like Phil Collins, and I thought that was pretty cool. But we went to go, at some point after I had a few lessons, we went to go see his band. He was in kind of a cover band that played at the whatever TGI Fridays looking bar. And we got talking to the singer, and she said something mildly insulting about Stevie Nicks. And my dad was like, well, we're done with that. So I didn't take lessons from him anymore.
Okay.
But man, I wanted to rock. I didn't want to learn all that stuff. I just wanted to, rock out.
When you say stuff, you mean like rudiment?
Yeah.
Okay. So what was the most important thing you think you got from him?
I don't know. I think maybe just not being scared to hit the drum. I remember being a little kid and going in there and being kind of timid. And he was like, oh, you got to not be scared of how loud it is. And the same thing happened with that very first show that I played with that punk rock band that I hooked up with. It was called Chronic Diphtheria. And we got about halfway through our set, and this guy came up on the stage and kind of started hollering at me. He was like, hit the fucking drum, man. Hit it. Don't be scared. And of course it scared the shit out of me. So I just started hitting the drum as hard as I could. I skipped all the changes in the songs and just hit the drum as hard as I could.
I got to say this, you know, being in a couple ensembles a little while, hitting the snare is a little too much, too hard, because you overload it and it starts sounding like a fucking hungry seal. Timbali, right? But toms, the more you hit, the harder you hit them, the more tone. But I think with the snare drum, yeah, you can get a little out of control. But hitting toms hard is really good. In fact, my Second Man and Missing Man drummer, they're opposite that way. One guy's got a great touch for snare. One guy's a good fucking caveman for toms. Tyler, I want to play The Festival of Our Mind.
All right. Title. Good idea. Okay.
We'll be right back. I am sticking a screwdriver in your ear. I hope that it doesn't hurt you. Yes, I do. I am pushing an ice cube in your anus. I hope that it cools your stools and comes out ice cream. Sticking a screwdriver doesn't hurt you. I hope that it, yes I do. I am in your ear, in your anus, cools your stools. I hope that it comes out ice cube. I am pushing on ice cream. I am pushing on, 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 I am pushing on.
Pedro show, well, it's been 20 years. I got a chance to work on it, or refine it, right? Or more opportunities to blow fucking clams. People, that chunk of music started with Brown Hornet. more pun rock there. The Festival of Our Mind. Great title, the winner. Obama's printing after that with Japanese Twins. Sam Lockwood, Iowa City with Digital Castles. Bob Buckle out of Junior out of Dubuque, Iowa. Nearby, too long for this world. Are you a cop from here? Well, like, he's part of the Val. The Brian Kelly. I guess he named the song after a dude. A No Connection from Hanson Potker. Decaf, Only Death Can Truly Set You Free. And then Brown Hornet with Cools Your Stools. A lot of good titles in that band. Okay, so diphtheria, Chronic Diphtheria, how long does your shift with them last?
It's probably just that one gig. It was pretty short.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, did you help compose and shit? Probably not, right? You just learned their tunes and then that one.
Yeah.
Well, what's the next chapter, Tyler?
Oh, there were a few other little projects that started out, but this, you know, my favorite out of that time was my buddies, you know, high school buddies. We just hung out all the time and we played music in the living room. We called ourselves Man Tree Anus. And we only had one gig.
Okay.
Also, but
a lot of practices.
Yeah, well, I mean,
well, that's how me and D Boone started. I mean, I'd say there'd be like 10,000 practices for every gig, and that was just fucking kegger in somebody's backyard.
Right. Yeah.
Until the movement came, right? No club scene. It's all arena rock in the 70s for us. So Man Tree Anus. Who came up with that name?
I'm not sure. I think we pulled some words out of a hat.
Yes, that's what it sounds like. Yeah. Okay. And let me ask you about the material. Original or copying off records?
Original.
Yeah, bitching.
Yeah.
That's what I like about
the think we had two songs, and then we just freestyle the rest of the set, for better or worse.
What, like the bookends?
Right. If we could remember the songs we wrote.
No, once at a debriefing after Stooge's gig, he gave us some like sage wisdom. He said, you know, you work in a room and you're playing a gig, and it's good to have it's like a good song working a room live is like a happening sandwich. So if you got two good pieces of bread, you can have a fucking sorote in between. It's all right. So he's talking about his beginning and endings, right? But
yeah.
You know, first he's a drummer man, then he's a front man, right? Bow of the Boat. So interesting perspective. But I love this idea he had about, in a way, you're responsible to make the gig work somehow. And so
it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the next chapter after that? Oh, so you've got two bands where you did two gigs, but a lot of practice.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of jam. And there were some other bands that's around that same time. Xenolith was my noise duo. And
Xenolith.
I played. Yeah. And Twisted Blister. That was another living room project where we just got as weird as we wanted to, but similar to what you were just saying, the next chapter was when I moved to Austin and I met the Brown Hornet guys because they already had a drummer and they made me sing. So I kind of went that same path you were talking about. They pushed me out front and I had to change my job.
Right, right. Because up to this point, you're only working drums musically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So now you become like Ig.
Right, yeah. They're kind of against my will. I didn't want to do it at first, but, you know, it's got its merits.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about art, right? You can have guys dare you or push you into a sitch, and you don't know what's going to happen. So what was your first Brown Hornet gig like?
That's a while back. I'd have to ask our band historian, but
okay.
back in the day we had 200 plus songs we could pick from, so we'd play for 2 or 3 hours.
You mean you learned 200 or 300 songs before you did a gig with these guys?
Nah, I mean it took time for us to build all that up.
So that's why I'm asking about the first one. I mean, and also it's your first gig as a front man, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I kept my back to the audience the whole time. Like, trying to stay back by the drum kit.
One time I saw The Fall, and that's what the singer did to us. He was like staring at the kick drum the whole time. So we got nothing but culero. But that's okay. Everybody's got a different technique. And now, you being the front man and not having to worry about coming up with beats or learning stuff, how were you involved creatively with Brown Hornet?
That band's very much a democracy kind of situation. I mean, we all contribute our own ingredients. I saw them play before I joined the band. I saw them play and I thought, you know, I got ideas for mouth sounds I could make on top of what they're doing. And they were open to it. So we all kind of, when we just jam and make up
mouth sounds.
Stuff.
And you know, another Houston band was 13 Floor Elevators, and some guy played jug, right?
Oh, yeah.
So are you talking like mouth sounds like that?
Well, I'd say more along the lines of Butthole Surfers kind of
hollering
and carrying on. And I had a delay pedal similarly to smear it about.
Yeah, we played their first Hollywood gig was with Minutemen, a place called the Radio Room, and Big Boys. And I remember it coming up with, man, this must have been like a fucking gallon-sized jar of Vaseline. He says, we're having to have fun tonight.
Oh boy!
That was
and the Big Boy. That Big Boy's a huge influence for us.
Yeah, that was great cats, Biscuit and Tim and all those guys. But also the Butthole. In those days, Paul used to sing half the tunes, and Gibby did a lot of sax.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have King and Teresa yet for rhythm thing. So, what about your recording? Is your first recording with Brown Hornet?
No, it would have been, officially the first recording would have been me with my mom's, classroom tape recorder on the kitchen floor with some stuff. But, the first album I would, outside of just recording with the jam box in the rehearsal space, the first album would have been with Brown Hornet, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that stuff you were doing with your mom's recorder, that was like, You were trying to use a tape recorder as a documentary or as a, because I've had, especially with electronic music, cats use it as an instrument.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been listening. Yeah, same deal.
Okay. Okay.
Playing with sound and seeing how I can mess it up.
So maybe that's, because when you think of drums, you think of percussion, right, and very physical, but this was to led to your evolution into electronic experiment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I like the idea of the movement, the punk movement, being about anything. It don't just have to be fast guitar. It wasn't that way. That's not my experience. Throbbing Gristle, were you hip to the annual reports?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. See? Hamburger Lady, shit like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
He was a trip. I met him a few times. Trippy. A lot of individuals in that scene in the early days, but I think I'm more, I'm stronger for it. I'm so glad I met people like that. You know?
Yeah.
Because we're born that way. If you look at your fucking thumbprint, you don't even have to prove to yourself you're unique. You already are. And then at the same time, you have so much in common with your fellow human being. So it's trippy how people have to put up Berlin walls with genre and this labeling and categories. And that's why I like the word punk. It was here in Pedro, it was a guy who got fucked in jail for cigarettes. So I couldn't understand why somebody called their music that. But then when I saw the gigs, it was like, oh, yeah, they just don't fit in. They're making their own parallel universe.
Yeah.
And I told you, boom, man, we can do this. I didn't even think. It just rolled right out of my mouth. We saw the bags. That was the first gig. Tyler, we're at the end of the first hour, June 22, 2021, edition of Pedro Show. Special guest, Tyler Harwood. Hold tight for hour two. June 22, 2021. It's the second hour of Watt from Pedro Show.
Yeah. Undiscovered country, I can't get through. Am I doing the right thing? Did I make the right choice in you? You never hesitate. You are fearless. I'm a cemetery. I'm an illusion cobbled together. Burning at the stake. You're the voices in my head. I suppose it's the punishment I deserve, if I deserve any. Now there's a word. Now there's a word. Now there's a word. I'm no longer interested in. Thank you.
rock on the next drum. Flesh-eating virus transmitted by light. Shining off faces, get out of my sight. Life is more suited this time in the dark. Hidden in shrubbery, alone in the park. The sun is for cancer and burning your eyes. The world would be better with it gone from the sky. My cock is a dagger made out of ice. The fuck the sun. We're parching the earth. It must pay the price. Fuck the sun. When you look around space and see all the other stars, you quickly realize they're all much better than ours. Fuck the sun. Fuck the sun. The sun only shines to expose our flaws. Fuck the sun. The sun grows the flowers. We turn into drugs. The bee fucks the flower. And then other bugs. It's all quite disgusting. In time it should quit. We can use science to make better shit. Fuck the sun.
For Pedro Show, we start off the second hour with Brown Hornet doing Banana Island. And then Ben Salter with Exit, Justice Yeldum, Talking Castle, Heimbach, Light Splitting, and then The Bloat with Fuck the Sun. So now, let me ask you about, I mean, you moved to Austin, Brown Hornet's an Austin band, but did you guys tour?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. So your first tours are, you know, getting in the van with the Brown Hornet guys, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got all our gear stolen on our very first tour.
Oh, shit, I'm so sorry.
That's how it goes, man.
I know. We call it a donate. We even try to put a positive spin on it, right?
Right.
So, it can happen anywhere, but I'm just curious. What town?
Chicago.
Oh, wow. Big shoulders. Big yep. guy. I'm so sorry. Yep. So, but did it stop the tour, or did you keep going?
We kept going. Yeah. We just went to the next day. We'd borrow whatever equipment we could from whatever other bands we were playing with, and they were generous enough to make it happen. So, yeah.
Now, we played, one Brown Hornet, but then you gave me something to bloat. So how long does your shift with Brown Hornet last?
It's ongoing.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It goes into hiatus, or is it just like full on?
We got more into recording, and we kind of slowed down on the touring.
Yeah.
People were getting jobs and kids. It's a story that's often told, and we just kind of got more into recording. And I actually moved out to the Bay Area for a while, but I'd fly back a couple of times a year to play shows.
Well, tell me about the bloat. Is the bloat from the city, Bay Area?
Nope. The bloat is actually, it's me and Peter Stopchinski, who's the keyboard player in Brown Hornet. We have a lot.
Oh, so it's like a side project.
Yeah. We've got a bunch of them. He and I kind of, we're unstoppable when we get together. We just start goofing around, and we've made up a pretty long list of bands.
And how does the bloat fit in? Was it the first one?
No, the first one was Art Fist. We did a drum and bass duo that was kind of a tribute to the Ruins.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was fun.
That was too, right?
The first of many. I mean, we've got Art Fist, Chablis, The Bloat.
Oh, you gave me some Chablis. We're going to play next hour.
All right.
But Tyler, you're telling me you went back to drums to do this side stuff with Peter?
Sure.
Okay. Well,
I'll do anything, man.
Well, I don't know. With Brown Hornet, though, you were mainly the front man, right? Because they already had a drummer man.
Yeah.
Okay. But when you went in, you'll do anything, huh? That's convenient.
You might not like it, but
I'll
try
what do they call a? I learned this in the Northwest. Lucky Pierre, right? The soccer.
Oh
man.
Boy! Okay.
Yeah, the soccer man on a freeway, right? That's the accommodator.
Yeah, my mom calls it a multi-potentialite.
Okay, I want to do this other. Is Peter in this one, Knowing Fack, or whatever the fuck?
Nope, that was a Bay Area project.
Okay, we'll get to it. Let's first play Nong Mao P. Sorry to fuck it up.
go on for infinite. I want a crew, a fool, a fool, a fool, don't die. By the my crew, a crew, your mouth of delay. I'll do your good side. Born and on the 40-0 one TV with a youth hi-fi. The young main man, TV hi-fi. Get you out right now.
I can't get away from this feeling that I do what I do. I'll be alright. It's okay, 'cause I'll get through. Whoa. Thank you.
Thank you. ดีครับ
For Pedro Show. Started that chunk of music off with Nong Fak doing Non Mao Pi, which is I've been enlightened. Thai. So much respect. Plasterman after that, Ithaca, Waste My Breath. Jeb Bishop Trio. Bone, right? Still bass clef. Get into it, people. Fifth Gear. He's going to be on the show. Damon Smith did a connect. Can't wait to talk to you. Weasel Walter, Brandon Lopez, Michael Foster after that with Current Events. From a record called Building a Better Future. What's this label? FY. It's out of Milwaukee. JMY Music. Yeah, great compilation. Building a Better Reality and all this music. A lot of Chicago bands in there, Emmett Kelly and stuff. So I guarantee you. And also the Bones go to BLM, Good Causes, stuff like that. And finally, Kwap Kun. Isn't that how you say thank you or something? No, Kwap Kun. There's a different way of saying thank you for men and for women. But Noin Phak. Tell me about this project. So this is one when you move out to the Bay Area.
Yeah. Well, backing up a little bit, when I was still living in Houston in high school, I used to sneak out to go see Three Day Stubble play.
Yeah, they played, Minutemen shared a bill with them in the lingerie in Hollywood.
Yep.
I think Don Bowles might have been on drums.
Yeah, he played drums for a while. Yeah, so those guys were my heroes early on. I mean, that really changed the way I thought about music after I saw them. So I used to go see them, and then years and years later, I became friends with Lisa Cameron, who also played drums.
Great, yeah, and I was just out in Joshua Tree playing with the Galextia people recording.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lisa's
great. I was on the show
a
couple months ago. Yeah, much respect, Lisa Cameron.
So, yeah, well, Lisa got me hooked up with Three Day Stubble, and that's when I moved out to the Bay Area to play with them. We did a couple of Gulf Coast tours. At first, I was just the driver, but I just kind of accidentally had some of my drums in the van.
And, now, did you wear the fucking McDonald's hats and shit?
Right, man, they're geniuses. So, I moved out here, got to be real good buddies with them, and Brentley Pusser was also in Noin Phak. And when their drummer moved to Portland, they asked me to take that spot. So I got hooked up with those guys.
Drums is kind of like bass, because not a lot of people want to rock it. So you're kind of in demand.
I suppose so. I don't know, man. I sure felt lucky when I was just in the right place at the right time for that and had, you know, some good friends that got me in.
Yeah, absolutely. But it shows you, all you people that are, like, deciding on what instrument, yeah, be lead singer or lead guitar. But if you want work, do drums, do bass.
Yeah.
Maybe. Somebody
be a multi-potentialite.
Yeah, right. Thanks to your mother. Right, it's not who you know, it's who you blow. Okay, remember that, people.
Sorry, Mom.
Yeah, sorry, Mom. Now, when you know, from driver to drummer, do you end up composing with the Three Day Stubbles?
Not composing, I've been playing with them for 18 plus years at this point. I haven't been on any of the albums yet. That's why I didn't give you any of it. But
well, one day, one way, right? You just keep in there and
close. Oh yeah.
The Minutemen played. I mean, those guys go way back, right? Because we stopped in '85.
Oh yeah.
So they go way back.
They do.
Incredible. And I only know him really from the Don Bowles, a couple things I saw in Don Bowles. And it was funny. He would act like them. You know, this is the Germs drummer, but no. Now we're 3 Day Stubble, so another persona. He's a
right.
trip. But he's an incredible drummer, man. That GI album. And they didn't really have a solid drummer until him. In fact, their first drummer was the Go-Go Singer. I shit thee not.
Oh.
So, yeah, the Germs had huge effect on us, Minutemen. I mean, well, a lot of those bands, right? Bags, Dills, X, and Alley Cats. Nervous Gender. And Don Bowles ended up playing with those cats, too.
He gets around.
He does. He's from Zona. He wasn't from here. There was a posse, Paul Cutler. Yeah, humans move around. That's why I hear. Like you did. But you're a Big Bang Area move. And then that's so cool you didn't scissor the connect, though, with your Austin buddies, Peter and stuff. That's so great.
No.
Kept that going. We're at the end of second hour, June 22, 2021, edition. Wap Pedro's special guest, Tyler Harwood. Hold tight for hour three. June 22, 2021. It's the third hour of Wap from Pedro's.
Everything separated my things from yours. It's frustrating, not simple, Joe. I know sleep, and you're asleep. With outside help, I might explode. So I take a walk to the store. It's not fine. Silence that scares us. Separate my things from yours. Put the keys to the door on the shelf by the window. Separate my things from yours. Put the keys to the door on the shelf by the window. Don't know where I'll go when it gets light. How's your car running? Damn engine light. Do you need some cash for gas? But I guess your mom takes care of that. Separate my things from yours. Put the key to the door on the shelf by the window. Separate my things from yours. Put the key to the door on the shelf by the window. If I stay sober, I might explode. I drank my last beer so many hours ago. Separate my things from yours. Put the key to the door on the shelf by the window. Separate my things from yours. Put the key to the door on the shelf by the window. Separate my things from yours. Put the key to the door on a shelf by the window. Separate my things from yours. Separate my things from yours.
San Diego. Free. Carton of irregular cat hats. I have a big box of used cat and kitten hats that I have collected over the years for various occasions. As of recently, my cat, Snowman, is no longer living, and thus I am forced to get rid of these precious memories. I would not feel right asking for money, so I am offering the whole box for free. There are many styles, from cute and funny to formal. Of 14 different hats total. I just hope that you and your pet find as much joy in these hats as me and Snowman once did. Thanks. Have a great day.
Walk for Pedro show. We start off the third hour with Anti-Ear, and then Suits Houston after that with XR Style It Edit, I guess. Yeah, one of these made-up words. And Slang from Hokkaido with Crisis. Hokkaido Hardcore. Public Record with Station. Tim Holhouse out of England with Everything Separated. Veda Hill out of Vancouver. The British Columbia one. Cat Hats. Yeah, all these tunes, she got the lyrics from Craigslist ads. Talking about repurpose. And then finally, Mudlark from Anti-Ear. Now, I was enlightened to the fact that Anti-Ear is Tyler Harwood, Man Alone. So it's not him like helping these other cats out, Three Day Stubble, Brown Hornet, or Knowing Fack. This is him. So tell us about it, Tyler.
That's just been my long-running kind of solo effort. You know, whatever strikes my fancy at the moment. I think the first stuff was just me with the tape recorder, you know, throwing around the microphone, and it's evolved since.
And but you don't really do drums?
Sure, once in a while.
Okay, so you throw your whole vocabulary at it. Tell me about the first Anti-Ear gig.
Man, I don't even know. I don't have the official record in my mind.
Remember, it's
that.
The Watt from Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers. It's okay. I'm just curious because you can only have the first gig once, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's hard for me to remember last week's gig or whatever. Yeah.
Right. Well, there's a lot of noise bands that were kind of forming around the same time, so I get all those performances kind of mixed
okay,
up.
Okay, what about the idea of noise? Is it different than music, in your opinion?
No, I think it's up to the listener, yeah. Really. I think of it as an exploration, kind of. It's reaching down into your imagination to see what kind of new sounds you can find and how they make you feel. And
but it's not such a stylized motif. Like if I say ska band, you know what? Like if I told you I'm gonna let you listen to a ska version of The Who's Tommy, you're probably gonna want to puke. You know what I mean? But when you say noise, that's way more open ended, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, just like any genre, there's a billion sub-genres, but I try not to get distracted by all that.
Yeah. I'm just curious about that, you know. In fact, Jake Rodriguez I had on, and he's not only the Bay Area has a noise scene, but he said it's the costume noise scene.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Brutal Sound Effects
crew, right.
Crew is like leading the charge on that.
How important is costumes, the presentation?
I don't know. It can be. I mean, if you can get into the performance art area when you start getting into costume or getting into character. Jake and I had a band actually together called the Bean Dip Troubadours, where we did we were old versions of ourselves that came back in time to perform noise music from the future.
That's a concept.
Yeah.
And there was costumes to go along with it.
Oh yeah, we were fully in character. So yeah, costumes can kind of open the door to new possibilities. I mean, Three Day Stubble, for instance.
I know, absolutely. And believe me, one reason why Halloween's my favorite holiday, it's the one day all year we admit we wear fucking costumes.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, who are we putting on, right? Like this word normal, right? Yeah, I'm wearing normal clothes. No, you're not. You're wearing a fucking uniform that you got brainwashed into putting on.
Oh, yeah.
I want to play here what you mentioned before, Chablis. But
nice.
Jordan Bud Knight's going out on the town. Jordan Bud Knight's not wearing no crown.
昔々、おじいさんとおばあさんがいました。ある日、おじいさんは山へ芝刈りに行きました。おばあさんは川へ洗濯に行きました。おばあさんが川でぼちゃぼちゃ洗濯をしていますと、向こうから大きな瓜が一つぽっかりぽっかり流れてきました。おばあさんはそれを見て、おやおやまあ、珍しい大きな瓜だこと、さぞおいしいでしょう。うちへ持って帰っておじいさんと二人で食べましょう。と言い、杖の先で瓜をかき寄せて拾い上げて家へ持って帰りました。夕方になるとおじいさんはいつもの通り芝をしょって山から帰ってきました。おばあさんはニコニコしながら出迎えて、おやおやおじいさんお帰んなさい。今日はおじいさんのお好きないいものを川で拾ってきましたから、二人で食べましょうと思って、さっきから待っていたのですよ。と言って、拾ってきた瓜を出してみせました。ほうほう、これは珍しい大きな瓜だ。さぞおいしいだろう。早く食べたいなぁ、とおじいさんは言いました。そこでおばあさんは台所から包丁を持ってきて、ウリを二つに割ろうとしますと、ウリは一人でに中からポンと割れて、かわいらしい女の子が飛び出しました。おやおやまあ、と言ったまま、おじいさんもおばあさんもびっくりして腰を抜かしてしまいました。しばらくしておじいさんが、これはきっと私たちに子供のないのをかわいそうに思って、神様が授けてくださったものに違いない。大事に育ててやりましょう。 そうですとも、ご覧なさい。まあ、かわいらしい顔をして、ニコニコ笑っていますよ。とおばあさんは言いました。そこで、おじいさんとおばあさんは、慌ててお湯を沸かして、赤ちゃんにお湯を使わせて、暖かい着物の中にくるんで、かわいがって育てました。売りの中から生まれてきた子だからというので、売り子姫という名前をつけました。売り子姫はいつまでもかわいらしい小さな女の子でした。でも旗を織ることが大好きで、かわいらしい旗をおじいさんにこしらえてもらって、毎日毎日、トンカラリコ、トンカラリコ、ギーギーバッタン、ギーバッタン、旗を織っていました。おじいさんはいつもの通り山へ芝刈りに出かけます。おばあさんは川へ洗濯に出かけます。売り子姫は後に一人、おとなしくお留守番をして、相変わらず、トンカラリコ、トンカラリコ、ギーギーバッタン、旗を織っていました。おじいさんとおばあさんはいつも出かけに売り子姫に向かって、この山の上にはアマンジャクという悪者が住んでいる。留守にお前を取りに来るかもしれないから、決して戸を開けてはいけません。と言って、しっかり戸を閉めて出て行きました。すると、ある日のこと、売り子姫が一人で、トンカラリコ、トンカラリコ、ギーギーバッタン、旗を織っておりますと、とうとうアマンジャクがやってきました。そして、優しい猫なで声を作って、もしもし売り子姫、この戸を開けておくんなさい。二人で仲良く遊ぼうよ、と言いました。いいえ、開けられません、と売り子姫は言いました。売り子姫、少しでいいから開けておくれ。指の入るだけ開けておくれ。そんならそれだけ開けましょう。もう少し開けておくれ、売り子姫。せめてこの手が入るだけ。そんならそれだけ開けましょう。売り子姫、もう少しだ。開けておくれ。せめて頭の入るだけ。仕方がないので、売り子姫は、頭の入るだけ開けてやりますと、アマンジャクはスルスルと家の中へ入ってきました。売り子姫、裏の山へ柿を取りに行こうか、とアマンジャクが言いました。柿を取りに行くのは嫌、おじいさんに叱られるから、と売り子姫が言いました。すると、アマンジャクが怖い目をして、売り子姫をにらめつけました。売り子姫は怖くなって、仕方なしに裏の山までついて行きました。裏の山へ行くと、アマンジャクはスルスルと柿の木によじ登って、真っ赤になった柿を、おいしそうにとっては食べ、とっては食べしました。そして、下にいる売り子姫には、種やヘタばかり投げつけて、一つも落としてはくれません。売り子姫は、うらやましくなって、私にも一つください、と言いますと、アマンジャクは、お前も上がって、取って食べるがいい、と言いながら、下へ降りてきて、今度は 代わりに売り子姫を木の上に乗せました。乗せるときに、そんな着物を着て登ると汚れるから、と言って、自分の着物と取り替えて着替えさせました。売り子姫がやっと柿の木に登って柿を取ろうとしますと、アマンジャクはどこから取ってきたか、藤の鶴を持ってきて、売り子姫を柿の木に縛りつけてしまいました。そして自分は売り子姫の着物を着て、売り子姫に化けて、うちの中に入って、すました顔をして、また、トンカラリコ、トンカラリコ、ギーギーバッタン、旗を折っていました。しばらくすると、おじいさんとおばあさんは帰ってきましたが、何も知らないものですから、売り子姫、よくお留守番をしていたね。さぞ寂しかったろう、と言って、頭をさすってやりますと、アマンジャクは、ああ、ああ、と言いながら、舌をそっと出しました。すると、表の方が、急にガヤガヤ騒々しくなって、立派ななりをしたお侍が大勢、ピカピカ塗り立てた、きれいなおかごを担いでやってきて、おじいさんとおばあさんのうちの前に泊まりました。おじいさんとおばあさんは、何事が始まったのかと思って、ビクビクしていますと、お侍はその時、おじいさんとおばあさんに向かって、お前の娘は大層美しい織物を織るという評判だ。お城の殿様と奥方が、お前の娘の旗を織るところが見たいという仰せだから、このカゴに乗って来てもらいたい、と言いました。おじいさんとおばあさんは大層喜んで、売り子姫に化けたアマンジャクをおかごに乗せました。お侍たちがアマンジャクを乗せて裏の山を通りかかりますと、柿の木の上で、あーん、あーん、売り子姫の乗るかごにアマンジャクが乗ってゆく。売り子姫の乗るかごにアマンジャクが乗っていくという声がしました。おや、変だ、と思ってそばへ寄ってみますと、かわいそうに売り子姫はアマンジャクの汚い着物を着せられて、木の上に縛り付けられていました。おじいさんは売り子姫を見つけると、急いで行って木から下ろしてやりました。お侍たちも大層怒って、アマンジャクをおかごから引きずり出して、その代わり売り子姫を乗せてお城に連れて行きました。そしてアマンジャクの首を切り落として、畑の隅に捨てました。その首から流れ出した血が、きび殻に染まって、きびの色がその時から赤くなりました。
Last music for this edition, people. Chablis with Butt Nuts. And then Few, Urokohima, which is like a Melon Princess. And of these folk, she's an incredible musician in electronics and stuff since the 70s. But she's been reading these old folk tales from her land. And then finally, Rip One?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. I thought it might have been Riponi.
It can be. Okay. It's up to you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Got you. Porta Drugal. Close on that one?
Yeah, you got it.
Enlighten us to both these projects.
Both with my same the partner, Peter Stapczynski, the Brown Hornet keyboard player. We got an infinite bad ideas. And Rip One or Riponi, we can't decide how
different manifestations. You have many manifestations.
Yeah. Yeah, the Rip One started in the pandemic when we just kind of did some long distance recording, passing stuff back and forth.
Oh, trading files.
Uh huh.
See, the internet, it doesn't have to be just about spreading lies and shit. We can actually make music together, kind of.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Okay. And is it different than flying back to Austin and being in the same room with them?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd much prefer to be interacting in real time. You can't beat it. That feeling of when you get in the zone with somebody else playing music, it's the best feeling in the world.
I understand, but it also can be the fucking big pants shitter too. Like, for example, the session man syndrome, nightmare, right? Like, the song's all done. They bring you in. They're all fucking rubbing their chins, folding their arms. You got to learn the song. You got to think of a part, and then you got to perform it all under this fucking microscope, magnifying glass. Sometimes, I got to say, having the, luxury of taking your time working at home, I guess if you're with your old buddy Peter, I mean, that's different. But if they come in here, we want you to put on, we got six tunes here.
Yeah.
What happens? You're trying to guess what they're going to like, right, ahead of time. So you start dumbing your shit down. I don't know. I think it's good to do some of that shit just to, put the fear of God in shit. But it's not comfortable situations for me, man. If I had to do that 100% time, I don't know if music would be so scary for me. But I'm so glad that you guys are still going and doing stuff like that, even when the situation makes it weird-ass like that. What about, how can people find you on the internet?
Well, any number of the usual Bandcamp routes. Yeah. Brown Hornet's got pretty much all of our recorded material up on there, which would, be Brown Hornet, whatever, .bandcamp. And then
yeah,
same
but
with
people, we got to tell the spelling. It's pun rock, right? So it's BROWN space WHORNET. Okay.
And that's correct.
But there's no Tyler Harwood website?
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, the
only reason I recommend is because it's like having your own fanzine. There's no corporate middleman. Although the Bandcamp, I think, is really good to musicians out of all these fucking music sites or whatever sites you want to call them. I think they're the most happy, so no disrespect to them. But if you have your own thing, right, you can. You know when Georgie would see somebody picking their ass, he'd say, hand puppet. Like you own a fucking hand puppet, right? So that's one of the advantages of having your own website. I'm really curious to what you and Peter, and also you, man, along with your anti-ear, come up with next.
Me too.
Well, when you do, will you come back on the show and play it, and we can talk about it?
Man, I'd love to.
Okay. Right? We don't have to regurgitate the old days and stuff like that. Now I've learned all your background. Very interesting journey through music, Tyler. And it shows in how flexible you are with all these things you involve yourself with and bitching. And then
it's been a fun ride.
And then meet Potatoes, being a drummer man, a stick man with a beat in his hand. I love it. I think maybe the first fucking musical instrument was the bottom of our feet on the earth when we were dancing. Those were the first drummers. It's just a hunch. Don't quote me on that. But thanks so much for being on the show, and I can't wait to have you back. People, June 22, 2021 edition, WAP Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.